These Decurions did rally their cities and populations to the Roman emperor. You see in the 3rd century in inscriptions, you see it on city coins and on public arts, a recasting of that relationship between the emperor and the Greek city. Increasingly, emperors are shown not only in combat, but with in association with the ancient gods of the city. Many cities issued commemorative coins, large bronze coins depicting the great struggle and process, that is the emperor defeating barbarians. Many showed the emperor visiting the great shrines, the emperor donning on the robes of a local magistrate. And there is just a profusion of public images being put out in the 3rd century associating the emperor ever more closely with civic institutions, the city gods, and loyalty to Rome. In the course of the 3rd century, becomes equivalent to loyalty to the Roman emperor. Rome, in effect, is replaced by the Roman emperor, and the Greek provincials of Asia Minor were far more willing to thrust the emperor in the company of the gods and to give to the Roman emperor titles of divinity, and this would make sense. Given the nature of the crisis of the 3rd century, if you're going to pay the high cost of war, if you're going to support those armies, you are going to look for a savior emperor, a divine emperor, an emperor who is able to beat back the forces of darkness. Now, much of what I've discussed is based on public images, public arts, public perceptions, and they're images emanating from that ruling class. Even so, you're dealing with a traditional society in which the elites exercise a great deal of influence over the direction of culture and the direction of political life. And those elites squarely line themselves up behind Rome and behind the Roman emperor. And that attitude explains a number of features of the 3rd century. One is the intensity with which Christians were persecuted. Prior to 250 AD, in a previous lecture, I mentioned persecutions were sporadic. They were local, regional. They might be restricted to a couple of cities. It's only in 250 AD when the emperor issues a empire-wide persecution. This is the Emperor Trajan Decius. All subjects of the Roman emperor must worship the gods. The Jews are given special exemption because they are an ancient religion. This posed a great trouble for many Christians. The Christians in Asia Minor suffered many defections. Some of the Christians did sacrifice to the ancient gods. And the imperial government was very strict about this procedure. You had to show up in front of the governor, and if you did sacrifice, you got a little labellus, a certificate. Some of them have survived from Egypt, indicating, yes, I did appear before the gods and offer sacrifice. And Christians were often had qualms about doing this. Some of them would send their slaves to sacrifice and get the certificate. And so if there was any sort of condemnation of the soul, it would go on the slave or the servant. That was generally frowned upon by a number of bishops. That wasn't the proper way of getting around this. In any event, the persecutions acquire a much harsher tone and a sense that the Christians really have to conform to traditional religious values. Even so, the official persecutions are usually short in duration. They last only two and a half years. They're not a top priority on the emperor's most important 10 things to do. And very often the persecutions died down or were rescinded, ended once a crisis was surmounted, an immediate military or political crisis. The 3rd century also had another important consequence, and it catapulted to power a new breed of Roman emperors. Starting in 268 AD, emperors were men who had come through the ranks, through the army. They did not come from the traditional elites, the senatorial or equestrian elites at Rome, and they often represented the most uncivilized populations of the Roman world, men from the Balkans, from parts of the Rhineland, whose Latin was generally quite crude and rough. And the most successful of these emperors, a man by the name of Diocletian, who seized the throne in 284, ended civil war and imposed a unity on the Roman world once again. And he was able to stay in power for 20 years. Most remarkable act of Diocletian was he retired in 305 AD. And the last 50 years, most emperors were killed in civil wars, assassinated. One died of plague and another was captured by the Persian Shah. But on the whole, your end was brief and violent.